church inviting me to come, and it is good that I could come and then preach in all three service. I arrived in Vancouver from Hong Kong on July the 2nd, and will be leaving back to Hong Kong on August 22nd. In between, I will spend some time in Italy with my wife to celebrate our 30th anniversary. And I still remember 5 years ago, some of you were celebrating with us in a hot mid-July summer afternoon in this place, and I want to thank you for that. And the time really flies, and when I come back after 5 years, I forgot to wear my mic. And a lot of things change, and my memory fades, you know, as demonstrated by forgetting where my mic, and think that, you know, my voice still holds. Holding different seminars in the weekends, and because of that, I don't have as large a voice as I used to, but you may say that's great, you know, I don't hear you, you know, just shouting all the time. But I really like to thank every one of you, and for praying for me and for my wife, and supporting my family, and it is great to be back. When I was back, and then I find that, you know, there was something new around. Okay, you know, it seems that, you know, I was thinking this is the Holy Communion's table, but I was told that it was not. It was the baptistry, and when I went down to the washroom just now, I discovered something new too in the men's washroom. Okay, for the ladies you may not know. Okay, but for the men you know. Okay, so it seems that everything new in this church is related to water. So that's great. Okay, and I'm glad that, you know, you were going to have a new church, and I'm looking forward, you know, to visit you next time, most likely, you know, in the new church. I was assigned a topic to speak on today. The topic is integrity, and knowing the situation of the church, which is going to move, you know, to a new place in the next few months. So I think that, you know, I would use the opportunity to talk about integrity of building, believing, and being. And the verses I chose were from Ezra chapter 8, chapter 7, verse 27 to 28. Let me read to you, okay, from the book of Ezra. Chapter 7, verse 27 to 28. Praise be to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way. Of course, the king's heart, the king referred to King Cyrus, the first Persian king, who defeated the Babylonians, who have captured the Jews for 70 years after destroying Jerusalem. But now, after 70 years, according to the prophecy of Jeremiah, the people of Judah were allowed to return to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. And afterwards, after about 90 years, under Nehemiah, who came back and helped the people to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And Ezra was a scribe in between that time who helped Zerubbabel and also helped Nehemiah, not so much to rebuild the temple, not so much to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, but rather to rebuild the people who inherit the temple, who need to live in the city of Jerusalem. And this is the prayer of Ezra. Allow me to read it again. Praise be to the Lord, the God of our fathers, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisor and all the king's powerful officials. Because the hand of the Lord my God was on me, I took courage and gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me. Now, I'm not going to expound too much on these two verses, and definitely I don't have time to really expound the two books. But allow me to give you basically the outline of these two books so you kind of understand what's my line of thinking in this sermon. Basically, you know, if you look at the whole book of Ezra, it talks about, in the first part, the return of the Jews under Zerubbabel, going there and helping the people to rebuild the temple. Now, of course, they were not having no obstacles. A lot of the Gentiles in that area opposed them, and even the king, another king, opposed the rebuilding as well. But however, under the admonition of two prophets, like the prophets Haggai, the prophets Zechariah, then the people were willing to follow the instructions of Zerubbabel, and in 20 years finished the rebuilding process. And I think it was very important for us as we going to move to a new church, as we going to buy a new church, as we going to move to a new place and have a new home, a spiritual home, we call a specific grace in a new address, to think about the rebuilding of the temple. But as much as the rebuilding of the temple, as much as the rebuilding of the temple as hardware is important, it is more important afterwards that Ezra went back and helped Zerubbabel to rebuild the people. Now, exactly the same. Hardware and software is the outline of the book Nehemiah. But of course, the hardware is a bit different. The hardware is the wall of Jerusalem, which signifies the city itself. But still, after the hardware, after you inherit the hardware, after you bought the hardware, after you got a new church, after you have a new location, after you have a larger facilities, the more important thing is that you have to rebuild the people. Unless the people is being rebuilt, the hardware is not that important. The hardware is to help the people to rebuild. The hardware is to make the people to know the importance of rebuilding themselves. The hardware is for the software. And that's the outline of Nehemiah and Israel, and that's the message of these two books. Hardware, software. Rebuilding the hardware is as important as rebuilding or building the software. And we need integrity in rebuilding all these three things. That's why I use the topic integrity of building, believing, and being. First of all, we talk about the integrity of building for a new church. Now, I know that someone already was a little surprised that, you know, how come that, you know, when Pastor Chen come back and then preach a sermon, there are no pictures there. Okay, it's coming. It's coming. Okay, I know that you're expecting some pictures. I know that you might be interested in knowing what are some of the things that I've been doing, so I would fulfill your wish, okay? And so I will show some pictures, and also along the line, I hope that the Word of God could share through this experience of mine the last year when I ministered in Hong Kong, as well as from the Word of God. Integrity of building for a new church. I know that, you know, with God's grace, that Pacific Grace have bought a 2.35 million old church located on First and Renfield, and then you're anticipating to move in even in Thanksgiving. And in the last year, when I was in Hong Kong, I have a few experience in going to different churches to preach. And also knowing some new church who was built recently or who was renovated recently. So allow me to share some of those experiences with you. And I was privileged when I come back every Sunday of July, I need to preach in the Pacific Grace Church. I was preaching in the North Shore Pacific Grace, and today I preach here, and also next week, Port Moody, and then the week after in Burnaby. But the last week in June, you know, I need to preach in a Mandarin church, okay? It's the Christian Mission Alliance Mandarin Church, which was located in an area called Sam Shui Po. And I was taking the bus, okay, instead of taking the MTR here, I took the bus, okay, and I get off here, and the service starts at 11, and then I got off at around 10:15. So I got about 30 minutes that I could spare and spend and walk around. So I walk around because it is no point to be in a church that early because no people would have time to really entertain me. And so I walk around, and basically I got off here, and then I walk across the street, and then I come into a church building. Now, this church building is called this church is called Heritage Baptist Church, and that is the mother church of Sioux, which used to be in another area called Mei Fu, not too far from there. Actually, it's the terminus of my bus. All the way, then I will reach that area. But about 6 years ago, they moved to this area and bought a old cinema house. And then I went in, the service started already, and then I was not about to go into the service, to go to the sanctuary, because the sanctuary was in the second floor. So I basically just walked around and then tried to look at different things. And then there was a security guard wearing a mask. You know that at that time it's H1N1 influenza pandemic. So that, you know, in public areas, especially for people who deal a lot with the public, they wear masks. And then I was not wearing a mask. I did not used to wearing a mask, okay? And I did not like wearing a mask. Even though the week before, when I went to the church to preach, okay, I was tested for my temperature before I could enter, even though I was the speaker, and then I was given a mask and asked to wear until I preach. But at that time, you know, even though I don't wear a mask when I preach, but the mic wear a mask when I preach. Anyway, so then I went in, and then I just looked around, and then and saw some of the things on the billboard, and tried to pick up and learn something from it. And suddenly, a guy from the office just came out, also wearing a mask. And then I was a little bit worried because I was thinking that that guy might ask me to either leave or wear a mask. But instead, he said, "Pastor Chen." I said, "Who are you? I don't recognize you because you wear a mask." And then he said, "Oh, you have been preaching in the Hebron Church, the Christian Mission Alliance Hebron Church." And then I suddenly dawned on my mind that my wife, who had been helping the Hebron Church, told me that there was a administrative assistant who recently left Hebron Church and went back to the mother church to work. So I think, oh, this was the guy. So immediately I called, "Oh, you must be Chris." And then he said, "Yes, I was Chris." And then he showed me around the church. And that church, he told me, a very, very nice church who can sit about 500 people, and I think they have around 600. They have two servers. And this is basically taken, you know, from the website. And they are very, it used to be a cinema. It used to be a theater house. And basically they have 9 beautiful stained glass windows. And because of that, many couples would like to get married there. And I asked them, "So how much you bought the church for?" He said, praise the Lord. In 2003, you know what happened in 2003? Have you ever heard of SARS? Okay, SARS. At that time, when the housing market was tumbling, when the housing price was at its bottom, was at its peak, they bought this theater for 2.2 million Canadian. 2.2 million Canadian. 15 million Hong Kong. But 2.2 million Canadian. Even cheaper than what we have bought. Right? And they use another 2.2 million Canadian to renovate it. So it basically cost them 4.4 million they inherited because they bought it at a low price. 6 months after that, a developer came in and gave double the price, 8.8 million, want to buy back, and they won't vouch. Okay? They are not going to sell it. Okay? And right now, it might cost at least 10 to 50 million. All right? And then he even told me, he said that, you know, Pastor Chan, you know one thing? Every month, we have an average of 6 weddings here. And then I said, how much it costs to rent your place? He said, about $1,000 Canadian. Actually, he said 8,000 Hong Kong. So you're talking about at least 5,000 to 6,000 Canadian every month just by renting the church out for wedding. Now, of course, you know, we might not, you know, need to rent that our church out for wedding that much. But if our church is beautiful, you know, why not, okay? And so the point I want to make is basically, you know, if God moves, God gives you a timing, God gives you a place, God gives you a church, that's the church, that's the place that He wants you to be in. Now, of course, you know, after 15 minutes or so, I don't want to bother Him that much because after all, He's still working, right? So I said, okay, bye-bye, thank you. Then I walk. I still have 15 minutes to kill, you know. And so I walk, and then I walk to Castle Peak Road, and then I cross Castle Peak Road, and then I here, and up to this place, okay? Now, this is not a cinema place, a cinema house as this place. Basically, it's a commercial building. But a lot of people are lining up in a queue. And then I said, well, what happened? It seems that they're going up. And then I go in, I discover that in this building, very interesting building, that every floor is a church or a parachurch organization. You know, from 1st and 12th floor, even though it is called Wai Lei, okay? Wai means sharp, Lei means, you know, a gain. Or, you know, Wai Lei is not very Christian-like, okay, the name, as far as the name is concerned. But on the other hand, that from 1st floor to the 12th floor, every floor is a church. And I tell you, that's basically I am going to. That's basically I'm going to. And then I walk around, and then across the street, and then walk back, and this is the Mandarin Church. You know, that is a Awana Sunday. You know, I have been invited to so many functions of Awana. So when I talked to Auntie Kathy, I said, you know, thank you very much. Because if it is not because of you, you know, I won't have that many opportunities to speak in so many functions in Awana in Hong Kong. Okay? I know nothing, I don't know too much about Awana. But it seems that, you know, our church has been running Awana for 70 years. So because of that, and since the director of Awana in Hong Kong knows me as a sister of Jackson, and because of that, so that, you know, I was always invited to talk to different functions in Awana. And I went to that church. You know, it was Awana Sunday. And basically, it's just like, what you call that? It's Awana award day, award night, right? Award night, but they put it in a Sunday, okay? Actually, they put Awana on Sunday in place of the Sunday school. And because of that, I went there, and I was there, you know, to my surprise. This church only have about 40 people in the Awana. Oh, they have the TNT, and then the Cruppies, and then Sparks. And then they won the first prize in the first Hong Kong Awana game. And this is their prize. And the most interesting thing to me was that, you know, in Awana, every time people need to line up, and then
this person needs to hold a flag, right? Someone needs to hold the flags. And this happens to be, I think, you know, the Wana commander or whatever, okay? Holds the flag, and you know what happened? He holds the flag, he needs to hold this way. And then, when he wants to hold the flag, he almost breaks the ceiling. It's like, it's just like this. Right? This is basically the height of the church. And many churches in Hong Kong, I would say over 50% of the churches in Hong Kong are like that. Where and how do they run Awana? Sorry. They run Awana in this place. Alright? The church is here. And then the children needs to go to this high school, which has a Christian as its headmaster and is willing to rent an activity room to the church for $300 Hong Kong per usage on Sunday. And they praise the Lord for that. Now, what I'm trying to say is, no matter your church is a 600 seating capacity former theater, or whether your church is only a 2,000 square feet place, you can still glorify God, make people believe in the Lord, and really help the church grow. But whatever you do, you need to have integrity in building up the church. Another church that is a little bit related to us. The first church, you know, the Heritage Baptist Church, related to Sue. Another church that related to us, okay, MB at least, is the fastest growing church in Hong Kong for the last 9 years. From 20 people in 9 years to 2,000 people. Okay, it's the 611 Bread of Life Church, who is now pastored by a former MB, Chinese MB pastor in Vancouver, Reverend King Long Cheung, Joshua Cheung, who used to be the pastor of the Tri-City MB Church, Chinese MB Church, right next to the Port Moody Pacific Grace MB Church. He went back about 10 years ago and then started the church. Now, of course, this church is a charismatic church. Now, we don't want to discuss the theological implications and the theological ideas of the charismatic movement. But this church used to worship in the North Point Pier in Hong Kong, and then a few years ago, moved to Chun Wan. And then they bought a place for $4.4 million. And also used another $4.4 million to renovate that place. I went there, and then I talked to Reverend Joshua Cheung. I said, what happened? Why? Why your church has grown from 20 to 2,000, despite of moving from North Point to Chun Wan? What does it mean from moving from North Point to Chun Wan? It's just moving from West Vancouver to Coquitlam. Just imagine that your church is moving from West Vancouver to Coquitlam. Still, many people come back, despite some people left the church because of the distance. But still, the church continued to grow leaps and bounds. I said, what happened? Why did your church grow? Why did your church grow because of this move or despite of this move? And then he told me, it is because of, again, 2003 SARS again. You know why? In 2003, the SARS period, before the SARS broke out, they decided to hold 100 nights of evangelist meeting in the church in North Point Pier. And then after the decision, SARS broke out. All hell broke loose. And then many churches even, you know, canceled their meetings. And everyone, if you want to go to church meeting, you need to wear a mask. And you want to if you want to have Holy Communion, you know what? Even right now, sometimes in the church in Hong Kong, it's like that. The Holy Communion is in a package. Okay? Basically, it's in a package. All wrapped up. The bread and the cup and the drinks are all inside. Okay? I don't know how fresh is the drink, but basically it's inside. Okay? If you don't want to drink, don't drink it. If you worry, don't drink it. Okay? Basically they pass it to you. Nobody, basically you open it with your own hand, okay, and then you drink and then you eat, right? It's very important to make sure the H1N1, or especially at that time, the SARS will not break into that community of Hong Kong, because it's so close, it's so crowded. But at that time, they need to make a decision. The decision is whether you still continue with that 100 nights of evangelistic meeting. And they said, we go ahead by the faith of God. And 500 people, over 500 people, believe in the Lord. And the church never turned back. And they buy another building, $4.4 million, and another $4.4 million to renovate the church. And he told me, all the furniture in the church was donated by a brother out of all places in the world, from Shanghai. You have faith, you have integrity, you move ahead. You move ahead. And the last church I'm going to talk about, you know, for $2.2 million, from $4.4 million, this church costs $15 million. $15 million. Okay, this is the Christian and Missionary Alliance Hebron Church. The new church costs $15 million. Bought last year and they moved in the beginning of this year, and my wife was temporarily helping them. And why it was related to us? Because the pastor now is Reverend Kenneth Kent, who believed in the Lord here, who used to pastor Burnaby Pacific Grace, and now is the senior pastor of the Christian Mission Alliance Hebron Church. You know that after they bought the church, they start the first VBS. Just now I talk about VBS, right? All the primary school in Hong Kong were closed now. All the school in Hong Kong were closed because of the H1N1 influenza pandemic, okay? Especially the primary school were closed. But despite that, 100 people already registered for the VBS, and 70 people volunteer to help in the VBS. Because this is a new church, they want to make sure that they reach out to the community. Hardware is important, but more importantly so, is the software, is to reach out to the people. Integrity in building. Not only integrity of building, integrity of believing in the society. Now, you have that building, and that building definitely is more conspicuous than 1587 Francis, right? Because it was located in First and Renfield, right across Dai Tong Wah, right across Dai Yat Lau, right on intersections. And it's a very conspicuous place. And I pray that, you know, that place would be a sword and light, not only of that corner, but a lamppost of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in the city. You know, I talk about different other churches. Allow me to talk about my own church in Hong Kong. You know, for the last 5 years, you know, my own church, the China Holiness Church, needs to worship in another place because the church was located inside the school it built. And then the school was rebuilt by the government. So for the last 5 years, the government rebuilt the school. And in 2009, the rebuilding process of the school was over. And then the school moved back, and then the church, okay, moved back. So this is the church, and this is the school. And the church used the sanctuary of the school. Now this is a private school, also in Sam Shui Po. But this is only one church, okay? But we have two other churches, and we have one other school. And the other school is in the new territory. It's called Tai Po. And the school is called Living Spirit College. And it's a subsidized school. And it's the only school in Tai Po that has a swimming pool. All right? Not a very fancy swimming pool, but a swimming pool we could use for the students as well as for the children in the neighborhood, in the community, to learn swimming. And also, there's a church there, and definitely the hall there is much larger than the hall of the mother school or the mother church. And then I was invited to be the board of managers in that school, okay? Hao Dong, okay? and even needs to interview teachers and need to even need to interview teachers who seek promotion and things like that. And because of that, I was very concerned about the youth work in Hong Kong. And for some of you who may visit Hong Kong, okay, especially some young people, when you hanging out in the evening and then you want to get a taxi, especially if you are in a group of 3 to 5 people, if some of you are a little bit rowdy, I tell you, the taxi driver might not take you. You know why? Because there were few instances in the past few months that many taxi drivers were being mugged by a group of young people. Why? Because the young people need money for cocaine, for their drugs. And because of that, the government has a very important campaign to help the young people, making sure that they don't take drugs, they don't take cocaine, they don't take the, what you call that? I don't know what those things call, okay? They don't take that, okay? And because of that, okay, there was a recent debate of a school who used the gospel and tried to transform the young people. And because of that, there was an article written about that college. It was very important that we as a church, we as a community, to affect the society. I was told, you know, I told you that about Awana. And we are moving to a place that has a large basement that can accommodate 15 tables, I was told. That could accommodate a larger group of a children ministry, a larger group of Awana that could affect the community. So if you have been in Awana, maybe you should consider that you help out in Awana in the future, or help out in other ministry that affect, that influence the youths and the children in that community or in your neighborhood and even in your friends. And I talk about the Awana Games. Now, this is the first Awana Games, and I was invited to be a speaker there. And then Barbara Lim, Awana director, the sister of Jackson, and Barbara was here, you know, in the morning service. If I knew that he was, she would be here, I may not show this picture. But anyway, you know, I show it, okay? We need to think about how we are going to help to build the communities. You know, on June the 4th, you know, at around 7:45, I was with my wife in the MTR station called Tin Hau in Causeway Bay in Hong Kong, thinking of then, you know, we have about 50 minutes. We have plenty of time to go to a Victoria Park and to attend a special candlelight vigil service to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the June 4th massacre in Tiananmen Square 20 years ago. But I told you, we were not out to the ground until 8 o'clock because it was so crowded. There were so many people there. And then when we were in Victoria Park, it was 8:30. And basically, we just took a run, took a stroll. We don't even have time to really sit down. And basically, it's all packed with people. They said at least 100,000 people were there. But we feel that we need to be there because that was a very important instance to talk about democracy in our country, in China. Even though we cannot do anything, but as a Chinese Christians, we need to remember different historical moments of our country. And it is very important that as a church, we need not only to care about ourselves, we need to care about the community, we even need to care about our country. Your country definitely is Canada. Your heritage definitely is Chinese. And we need to care about all this as we build our church. You know, on April the 4th, I had the opportunity to attend a memorial service. I need to be there. I need to be there with at least 1,000 people to attend the memorial service of James Hudson Taylor III, Why? Because about 4 months ago, in January, I was preaching, and then Dr. Taylor was there listening to me. And then after that, you know, we took the train, and then we talked about different things. And then he gave me a gift, and then he told me a lot of things about theological education, and then I need to be there to remember him. The service starts at 10 o'clock in the morning in Caldon City Baptist Church until 1:30, 3.5 hours. A lot of people were there, a lot of people said a lot of things. Their doctors' couples came out and speak a few things. And then the lady doctor told us this. She said 3 weeks before his death, she got a chance to have a stroll with him in a park. And then she asked him these questions. She said, "Dr. Taylor, out of the past 50-some years of ministry, which moment is the most memorable moment in your ministry?" You know how Dr. Taylor answered? He did not talk about his 2 terms as president in 2 Chinese theological seminary in Taiwan. He did not talk about he as the 7th president of the former OMF and now a former China Inner Missions and now the OMF in Singapore. He did not talk about the 5 times he was invited to be the Hong Kong Keswick Convention. That means the Joint Churches Revival Meeting speaker. He did not talk about for the last 15 years he started MSI and was the honorary citizen of Sichuan. You know what he answered? You know how he answered? The most memorable moment in my ministry was when I saw God move. When I saw God move. It was not the building. It was not the place. The most important thing is that we see God move. God still is leading Pacific Grace. You know, I was very thankful that, you know, 2 years ago when I was here and when I was about to leave, then a group of people among you leave this church and merge with Vancouver MB Church and form the Southfield Church, right? And then actually 3 years ago, before that, we have seen this place before, but that place was not for sale. After 3 years, that place was put on sale, and then we got it out from the grace of God, and with over 80% of the congregation's approval, you know, you have decided to buy that place, and praise the Lord for that. I'm sure that's God's will, and because of that, I think that the most important thing now, we see that God is leading you to a new place. To a new place, not only for yourself, but to a place that you see the moving of God. You see the integrity of believing in the society and be salt and light and the lamppost in that corner. And last but not least, integrity of being among non-Christians. Being among non-Christians. Integrity of building, believing, and being. For the last 2 years, I have the privilege of serving in Alliance Bible Seminary, serving with 27 other faculty members, and also about 50 staff and to a group of students. And last year, we have 106 new students and a total student body of 901 that include part-time and full-time. The full-time equivalent is about 350. And then the most, I shouldn't say the most important, you know, the most challenging ministry before us is the Mandarin ministry. Because of the openness of China, we anticipate in 10 years the student body with more Mandarin speaking people than the Cantonese speaking people. Like right now, like in 2007, 2008, in the summer camp, we have 200 attendants. And then this is a full-time, I should say, part-time students coming out to Alliance Bible Seminary every year for 2 weeks, one in May, one in October, to attend intensive course, to equip more for their ministry in China. They are already full-time pastors. Some from the Free Self Church, the church, the recognized church, the governed recognized church, the registered church, and some from the house church or underground church. And we anticipate to that we will have more of this as years go by. And, you know, 2 years ago when I first started, basically, you know, as a professor in Alliance Bible Seminary, I need to do three things. The first is administrative. The second is teaching. The third is caring. We have a lifetime guarantee, a lifetime warranty for all our students. You know, even our students graduate, okay, you got any problems, you come back, and then you got a lifetime warranty. Then we will talk to you, then we will try to guide you, we will counsel you, we will make sure that you are doing okay when you go back, because you carry the ABS name. We want to make sure that, you know, you go to church, that is fine. And then the church is beneficial to you, and then you are beneficial to the church. And then because of that, I need to take care of about, you know, 10 to 11 students in my caring group. And when I was there, I inherit MDiv second year students. So this year, they graduate after 2 years, okay? So some of them, you know, I even marry, spoke in the one's marriage ceremony, matrimony, okay? And I will be taking some heavier administrative responsibility because three of our faculty retire, and one of them is Reverend Jung, who is the vice president, you know, of the school, and he will take heavier responsibilities, you know, after he retired. And of course, you know, I also go to different churches to speak and visit people. And when I came back in last December, then I was privileged to be invited to the Christmas dinner with the MB pastors. And of course, if you come to Hong Kong, you are more than welcome to come to Cheung Chau. You know, like Eva and Enoch's father, like the Deacon Jung, okay? All right, George is a deacon right now, eh? Deacon Jung and Kenneth and other people, okay? And they come and then they visit me, and then I will take them down for a seafood dinner, okay? For you guys, you have been working, you want to treat me, that's fine, okay? If you guys are not working, you don't want to treat me, that's fine too, okay? I may not treat you, but on the other hand, okay? But anyway, okay, come back, come and then visit me. But, you know, for all these things, okay, I'm trying to build up people. And I'm glad that, you know, you buy a church and then you go there and you want not only for the building, but you want to build up people. In closing, allow me to show this advertisement to you. Now, for many of you, you might not understand that much, okay, this advertisement. But for you who have studied some Chinese, you would understand this, okay? Okay, you be a woman, okay? You need to change, okay? Now, this is very hard to translate, okay? As a woman, you need to put on cosmetics, right? Basically, that's the idea. And this one, mfa. Okay, fa means change, transformed. Not only, of course, fa means a little bit different, okay? But fa means transform, change. My dear brothers and sisters in these congregations, you need to be changed. You need to be transformed. Mo fa, okay? You fa, okay? You need to be transformed. You need to be changed. And when you be transformed and changed. Now you got a place, you got a new place, you got a new church, you got a new community, you're going to affect that new community, and you have a new being among the non-Christians. And I assure you that my prayer is with you. Not only my prayer is with you, I will even leave you a gift, okay, which I'm going to give Pastor Law later. Okay, this is a gift to commemorate the 110th anniversary of the school I serve, Alliance Bible Seminary in Cheung Chau, which one day I hope I will see you there, and we go out for seafood together, right? Okay, and this is the stamp from Hong Kong, and also some images of the school, and then I'll give it to you as a gift and help. I hope that whether you have a chance to look at this or not, you remember me in prayer, because after all, I tell you, for all many of the nooks I use in Cheung Chau, many of the seminars I conduct in the churches in Hong Kong, you don't need to attend those seminars. Why? Because basically I've preached and used those nooks all here in Pacific Grace. It's all old stuffs, okay? So you don't need to attend. And that's why I am tremble as I come to preach before you, because every time for the last 2 years I preach in a church in Hong Kong, I don't need to prepare a new sermon. But this is a new one. Let us pray. Now, dear Father, I want to thank you for giving us this time that we can come and praise you. We want to pray for the short-term mission trip to Montreal. I want to pray for Pastor Isaac in France. I want to pray for each and everyone here as we get together, as we worship you, as we try our best to transform ourselves and have integrity as we have a new building. Have integrity as we believe in this society, in this godless society, in this pagan society, in this society full of challenges, full of temptations, full of trials, full of tribulations, as we try our best to have integrity of being among our non-Christian friends. I pray that you would transform us, help us to know how to serve you better as we begin our new phase of Pacific Grace. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.